Chapter 6. Lexi had tried to get out of taking Nans and the ladies to the Kingsleys, but Nans had nipped her protests in the bud by giving her the look. The one she'd been giving Lexi since she was a little girl. The one that Lexi couldn't say no to. So she picked them up at 4 p.m. and drove over to the Castle Heights neighborhood, parking on the same intersecting street at Ida's request. Ida wanted an opportunity to scan the Pendletons' yard for the drone as they walked down the street. When they got out of the car, Ruth made it a point to canvass the neighborhood. Lexi thought maybe she was trying to be discreet, but her jagged movements and the way she was craning her neck, whirling around and peeking over the top of the car, made it pretty obvious she was looking for something.
"What are you doing, Ruth?" Nans asked.
"I'm looking for the neighborhood busybody."
Ruth zeroed in on something, her eyes narrowing.
"And I think I found her."
Across the street was a brick house with black shutters and trumpet vines climbing up the chimney. It wasn't as stately as the others, but still bigger than the average house. It sat on a moderately landscaped lot. The window shades were drawn, but in one window they could see two fingers had pried the louvers apart. Someone was looking out at them. As they watched, the louvers snapped shut.
"Well, I think she's on to us," Helen said.
"That's okay. Those types always like to talk. She'll welcome us when we show up at her door."
Ruth hitched her purse up on her shoulder and started toward the Kingsleys. "If we show up at her door." Lexi fell into step behind Ruth.
"Now, I want you guys to just keep quiet. Don't say anything. I told Kingsley I might be bringing some, assistance. You don't need to open your mouths at all."
Lexi fixed them with a stern glare. Even though they nodded in agreement, she had a feeling they weren't going to follow her instructions. The ladies stood silently behind Lexi as she knocked on the Kingsley's door. The Kingsley house was in much better repair than the Pendletons. It was almost as large, but a more elegant style that dated from the 1920s, with weathered cedar shingles and crisp white trim. The landscaping was not overdone, the shrubs were meticulously trimmed, and there were window boxes on the lower windows, overflowing with purple and white petunias. The door was answered by Caspian Kingsley, whose personal appearance was as meticulous as that of his house. He wore a crisp blue and white pinstriped Oxford shirt and linen slacks. His tanned face radiated a healthy glow and made him look a decade younger than the mid-60s that Lexi knew him to be.
"Lexi, how lovely to see you again."
Caspian held his hand out and Lexi shook it. His questioning gaze drifted over her shoulder to Nans and the ladies.
"This is my grandmother, Mona Baker, and her friends. They may be assisting me when I cater."
Lexi leaned closer to Kingsley and whispered,
"They're elderly, with not much excitement in their lives, so I brought them along."
Behind Lexi, the four ladies gasped.
"Well, I would hardly say that we're..."
Nan started, but snapped her mouth shut when Lexi pinned her with a steely glare. Lexi turned back to Kingsley, unable to help the smile that tugged the corners of her lips. She knew the ladies wouldn't like being portrayed as bored and elderly, but it served them right. She wanted to show them that insisting on tagging along with her came with its drawbacks.
"The venue will be set up out and back."
Kingsley turned, indicating for them to follow. They walked through a marble foyer into a lemon cleaner-scented living room, done elegantly in creams and blacks, and then out one of the triple sets of French doors to the backyard that they had seen from the street the other day.
I'll be having a tent set up, and I think this spot will be perfect. Lexi pointed to the one section of yard that was fairly level. Then she turned and pointed at the other side, which sloped down toward the Pendletons. And I was thinking about setting up a little bar with mimosas over here, but with this slope, I don't know. She let her voice trail off as she looked out over the Pendletons' yard. She already knew what she was going to do about the slope, but she wanted to pretend she was thinking so she could have more time to scope out what was going on at the Pendletons. Her eyes immediately flew to the cement patio. From this angle, a larger section of patio was visible than she'd been able to see from the street. Smack dab in the middle was a dark stain. And if she wasn't mistaken, that was exactly where Olive Pendleton had fallen to her death.
"And I was wondering if we could have some of those cupcake tops."
Kingsley's words jerked Lexi's attention back to the real reason she was here. "Yes, of course. And quiche and the usual eggs, bacon, sausage, and toast, right?"
"Yes, and I would like some..."
His brows drew together as he looked past Lexi's shoulder.
"What is your grandmother doing?"
Lexi spun around to see Nance, Ruth, Ida, and Helen scrambling down the back of the yard that sloped toward the pond. For a second, Lexi thought they might be about to slide in, but they stopped themselves just short of the edge, where a group of cat-o'-nine-tails stuck up out of the water.
"That's the neighbor's pond, ladies,"
Kingsley yelled to them, then turned concerned eyes on Lexi.
"Are they senile? They won't jump in, will they?"
"I wouldn't put it past them." Nance waved from the edge of the pond.
"Sorry, I dropped something and it rolled down the hill."
Kingsley's lips pursed together.
"I do wish the neighbors would clean that yard up."
"Yeah, why don't they? Doesn't the author, Olive Pendleton, live there?" Lexi asked.
"Yep, they're eccentric. I mean, just look at the yard. It needs work. The pond is a mess. Yet they're building a new gazebo, and even that is being done in a slipshod manner. As you can see, they have the walls built, but still have yet to finish the footing."
Kingsley waved his hand toward the gazebo, where Lexi could see bags of cement lying at the foot of the partially studded wall. Rupert was actually in the gazebo, apparently working on it, and the voices must have caught his attention. He looked over, his eyes narrowing as he recognized Nance and the ladies.
"Hey, get away from my pond!"
He raised his fists in the air and started toward them, but his foot slipped in the mud near the gazebo, and he stopped to right himself. The four peekapoos, however, had no problem with the mud, and they ran over to the edge of the property, barking and yipping. Nance and the ladies scrambled up from the embankment. "Not very friendly, I take it," Lexi said.
"Like I said, they're odd ducks, and those dogs, they make a racket,"
Kingsley said distastefully. The ladies had come to join them, and Ruth said,
"Must be a lot going on next door, with all the women coming and going."
Kingsley gave her a funny look.
"Well, I wouldn't say there's a lot of women. Then again, her sister is there a lot, Susan. She always did follow Olive around like a puppy."
"You know her sister?"
Nance asked. Kingsley nodded.
"I know the family. Known them for decades. This was the McMurdy family home before their parents died. Olive always was the smart one, and Susan was the pretty one. She's quite a wallflower, despite her beauty. So fragile. You know the type. Delicate, always sick. Funny how two sisters can be so different. As you can see, Olive is wild with money. But Susan, is the opposite. Lives frugally. Doesn't spend it willy-nilly like Olive and Rupert.
So the two sisters are close, eh?
Ida slid her eyes over to Kingsley.
And Rupert, does he get along with Susan?
I assume so. She's here all the time, and they appear to get along. Poor Susan doesn't really have anyone else. Her marriage ended badly. Of course, Susan always did do everything Olive did. Even got one of those fluffy little dogs. She dotes on that thing. Especially since Brent won't have anything to do with her.
Brent? Lexi asked.
Her son. They had a falling out. Well, it's really not my place to be airing their laundry.
And what about the other women?
Helen asked.
Other women?
Kingsley frowned.
I don't know about any other women. Not too many people go over there unless they have one of their raucous parties.
Kingsley glanced disapprovingly at the patio. From this angle, Lexi could see the outdoor kitchen better. It had a stainless steel grill that looked to be in good working order, a giant stainless steel chest that looked like a cooler or freezer, and a large fridge. The stone counters were a little the worse for wear, and the appliances needed polishing, but looked to be in good condition otherwise. It also looked well used, but Lexi had a hard time picturing a happy crowd of people holding drinks in their hands and chatting while dour Rupert worked the grill. Kingsley pressed his lips together thoughtfully.
Oh, wait. There is that one woman. I think it's Olive's assistant, or maybe she's the maid? I'm not quite sure. A blonde. Looks similar to Olive and her sister. Quite honestly, I don't pay that much attention to what's going on over there. I'm not one of those nosy neighbors, like Mrs. Jensen.
Mrs. Jensen? Nan said. She wouldn't happen to live in the brick house with the trumpet vines, would she?
Yes. How did you know?
Kingsley asked. Nans nodded at the ladies knowingly.
Oh, we are very observant. So, the sister and the maid are usually over there. What about other men? Don't Rupert or Olive have male friends?
Ida asked.
No, I don't recall any. Like I said, we don't pay much attention to what goes on over there. It's usually just Olive and Rupert.
So you didn't hear anything strange over there the other day?
Nans jerked her chin in the direction of the Pendletons' patio.
Strange? No. What are you getting on about?
Kingsley's eyes darted from Nans to Lexi. He seemed like he was starting to get suspicious, so Lexi shrugged, pointed to the four ladies, and twirled her finger around her ear to indicate maybe they weren't all there. Kingsley's eyes turned sympathetic, and he cleared his throat.
We try not to pay attention. Too much dog yapping. I only wish our shrubs would grow higher and block them entirely. We hardly come out here anymore.
Maybe if her books were doing better, they'd have the money to fix the place up, Ruth said.
Her books?
Kingsley waved his hand.
Pfft, she doesn't need the money from that. She has plenty of money from her folks.
Kingsley frowned as he glanced over at Rupert Pendleton, who had gone back to working on the gazebo.
Unless they've already spent it.
I hope the yapping dogs won't be a problem with the brunch out here, Helen said.
Me too.
Kingsley looked at Lexi.
They can be a bit obnoxious. I have half a mind to call the cops the next time they get on one of their incessant barking jags. Anyway, do you have enough information?
Oh, yes. Thank you so much.
And you'll be here Wednesday morning, ready and set up in time for the first guests to arrive at 10 a.m.?
Kingsley herded them toward the French doors. Lexi was about to assure him they would, when Nance answered for her.
Oh, yes, we will. Don't worry. We'll all be here and set up and waiting for your guests with bells on.
As Kingsley led them into the house, Lexi thought she heard him mutter,
I was afraid she was going to say that.